Uncomfortable, isn't it? Waiting? Just sitting there waiting, doing nothing? That's uncomfortable. Waiting is it's one of the hardest things to do, isn't it? You know, especially if we're experiencing some sort of a crisis, whether it's big or small. That was like 30 seconds of waiting. That wasn't even that much. We just can't handle it. No one likes to wait, do we? Now, even though it's acceptable to say the word wait in most any social situation, it's kind of a four-letter dirty word, isn't it? We don't like to wait. We would rather do most anything than wait. Even sometimes we'd rather do the wrong thing than to wait to do the right thing. And we know that's not a good attitude to have. We know that life sometimes requires that we wait, even just a little bit. And so we pray, right? We pray for patience in those times that we must wait. And we say things like, Lord, give me patience. Not like opportunities to be patient. I've had plenty of those things, and they just don't seem to be working out. I don't have any more than I had before. You just give me the real stuff. Give me the patience. I just want that. And if you could do it right now, that would be awesome, right? Yeah, we pray things like that. Anyone prayed that prayer? Be honest. Yeah, Doug's honest. All right, I have. It's hard for us, people who live on fast food and instant video streaming and information at our fingertips, to wait. It's hard for us to wait. Maybe you've heard of the man who was frantically pacing his office floor back and forth, and finally, his employees finally asked him, you know, what is the problem? And he said, well, the problem is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. We get that way sometimes. I think it's safe to say that all of us have been there at some point or another. We've felt those things because it's hard to wait. And waiting is kind of an inevitability in life, isn't it? You know, it seems to be the rule rather than the exception. You know, a green light on Highway 81 or an open door, a meeting that begins on time. Those things are the exception, not the rule, right? We don't get to hit all those green lights on 81. Those things that seem to just work out naturally, they're too seldom and too far between in our lives. Our lives are just not filled with green lights. They're filled with yellow lights and red lights that tell us to wait, wait, wait. Well, this is our third week in the book of Habakkuk, and we've been studying Habakkuk's complaints to God and how God has responded to those complaints about how the nation of Judah was wandering away from him. Habakkuk saw evil rising up and overtaking his people, and his heart was broken over all that. He was hurting for that. He desperately wanted to see a love for God return to his people so that they could once again experience peace and full lives that kind of thing brings. But unfortunately for Habakkuk, that's not what he saw. And he prayed earnestly for God to change the hearts of his people, but nothing happened. And so Habakkuk was learning what it means to wait on God. And I think he had to probably wait a little bit more than 30 seconds. In our first week, we looked at Habakkuk's complaint. We saw that God's ways are often mysterious and misunderstood. And in our second week, we saw that God finally broke the silence to Habakkuk, but the answer that he got was not the one that he was expecting, and it was not the answer that he wanted. God said that he was going to send the wicked Babylonians to judge the people of Judah. And that kind of response, it didn't make sense to Habakkuk, because the Babylonians were an evil nation, more evil even than Judah was at the time. So why would God use a nation who was more evil than his own people to correct his people and bring them back to him? He didn't understand that. He was wrestling with all these things. Now, last week, we looked at Habakkuk's problem-solving matrix, and we found out that he offers us the opportunity, when we get involved in those problems, to pray, P-R-A-Y. First, to pause and to think about what's going on, to take a step back from the problem, and then to restate the basic principles and apply those principles, number three there, and then finally, number four, to yield the problem to God in faith. And that fourth thing, that yielding thing, that's where it gets really difficult, isn't it? Yielding. And so today we're going to unpack that a little bit further and see what Habakkuk has to say about what it means to yield to God in those times when we are to wait. Because I hope that we can see a little bit better about what that means to put it into practice, and we can enjoy the time of yielding to God. And so let's go there. Let's grab our Bibles this morning and turn to Habakkuk 2 if you haven't already done so. There's extras on your tables and in your seat backs there. Habakkuk 2. And we're going to look at how Habakkuk managed his problem in waiting. And I've asked Alan to read this for us, Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 3. So, Alan, if you'd read for us this morning.
I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what you will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it will certainly come, it will not delay.
So after putting forth his first complaint to God about all the evil and corruption that he saw around him in chapter 1, and then hearing no response for a time, and then finally hearing a response that sounded ridiculous to him, Habakkuk went on to say in Habakkuk 2, verse 1 there, he says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Habakkuk has realized that the thing to do in this moment is to wait on God. It wasn't enough just to pause and think and restate the basic principles and apply those principles to the problem. Habakkuk was still in doubt, and so he yielded the problem to God in faith. He allowed space for God to move and respond. He was waiting for God's answer. But what does that mean in practice? How do we put that into play in our daily lives? Let's dig in here and see what Habakkuk does in doing this here. First thing I see Habakkuk doing in putting this yielding thing into practice is that he took his place, number one there. And so we should take our place. Habakkuk took his place. He says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower. Now in those days, when the city was fearing trouble, a key place to help gather the intelligence necessary to deal with the problem, or potential trouble anyway, was to this watchpost that Habakkuk was talking about here. You know, some versions refer to it as the rampart or the tower. And from that vantage point, up on the watchpost, you could see for miles and miles and miles, and you could see whatever kind of problem might be heading your way. And so Habakkuk says, I'm going to take my stand at my watchpost. I'm going to go to the place that I know gives me the best opportunity to see the problem as God would see the problem. I'm going to go there and get firsthand intelligence from God on the matter. That's what he's saying here. The watchpost was a place for gathering wisdom. That's what the watchpost represents here. And in these days, we don't live in fortified cities, so we don't have a town wall, and so we're not going to the edge of town and looking out on these watchposts. Our watchpost isn't that, all right? Our rampart, our watchpost, is the Bible. It's God's Word. It's other mature believers that we can go to and talk to for encouragement and comfort and wisdom. It's guidance from the Holy Spirit. Those are the things and the places we can go to get intelligence on our problems. Those are the places we can go to get answers from God. But when Habakkuk says that he will take his place there at the watchpost, he wasn't only saying that he was going to get intelligence. That's not the only thing he was going there for. And he was also giving us a picture of a right relationship to God. He was showing us not only place, but also position as well. I mean, who was it that staffed those positions in the watchtowers and the ramparts there? Who was it? When the king had reason to believe that trouble was coming his way, did he run up to the nearest watchtower and look out? No, he didn't. He sent his soldiers to go do that, didn't he? And so it was soldiers in the king's army that were up in those watchposts. And when Habakkuk realized the terrible state of his nation, he didn't run to the throne thinking, you know, God interacts with his throne quite a bit. So I'm just going to come to this throne, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to wait here for his answer. And if he doesn't answer me, then I'm already here in the throne at least, and I can give an answer that seems right to me, and I can give the orders because I'm here on the throne. That's not what he did. He didn't He didn't do that because that throne wasn't his. He went to his place. He went to the watchpost, his position, because that's what his position was and who was in charge. That showed who was in charge and who was there to receive the information. But too often we encounter a problem and we go running to the throne, most of the time with good intentions because we want to talk to God, but maybe it looks empty there. Maybe we don't see God sitting on the throne in our problem. We think that, well, it doesn't look right. He's not there. He's not taking care of the problem like he should. And so most times we start to think we know how to deal with the problem on our own. And so we sit down there. We're not willing to give up control of our issue, even if we don't know how to deal with the problem on our own. We think we're going to try it. And God looks at us and says, oh, I see you're sitting on the throne there. Well, that's a nice spot for you. It looks like you have this problem well in hand. I will leave you to be. And don't get me wrong. God has the power. He's not impotent to knock us off that throne. That's what he was doing with Judah after all, right? He was doing that to Judah. He was knocking them off their throne. And so he could do that if he wants, but sometimes he just lets us sit there and deal with the consequences of trying to play God. But Habakkuk got it right. He told God, you know, I have this problem, and I need your help. And then Habakkuk went to the best place he could receive that help. He allowed God to be God. He didn't go to the throne and sit there on his own throne of his own problem. He didn't do that. He let God be God. He let that seat be God's seat, because that's who it belonged to. That's a struggle, though, for us, isn't it? To let God be God in our problems. Even to do just that, you know? We have a problem and we tell God that it worries us, that we don't know how to solve it, and we don't know what the solution is, and we need his help, and then we run to the throne, we run to the watchpost to wait. But maybe when we start climbing those stairs to the watchpost, we get up about halfway and we think, you know, I've been doing all this work to get to God's answer, and I don't see God. He hasn't talked to me yet. I know I'm not up in the watchpost yet, but surely he could talk to me by now. Where is God in all this anyway? I've come all this way, and he's not here yet. What's the deal? And so we run back down the steps of that tower, and we go running to the throne, and we sit down on it, and we mull that problem over in our minds over and over and over again, trying to fix the problem ourselves anyway. We begin worrying about it all over again after we told God we needed him. But we have to learn, like Habakkuk is showing us here, that when we take our problem to God, we leave it with God. We don't bring it back and make it ours again. It's not ours to worry about any longer. We go to the watchpost and we wait there. And I know that's not easy. I'm not trying to make it sound like it's simple, like it's just an easy thing to do. It's not easy to do. It's very difficult to do that. But we have to be intentional about it, because it's only when we take our position in the watchpost, looking to God, that we can gain perspective on our problems. We can't make sense of the news in today's world, in our nation, in our community, or even in our homes, while we're sitting on the throne pretending to be God. And so we depend on him rather than ourselves. In the midst of the battle, when we can't see what's going on, either ahead or behind us, when we can't see who's winning over the war or what you should be doing next, we take our nourishment not in trying to put the war to rest ourselves, but in allowing God to take care of the battle for us. We wait for him. When Habakkuk looked at his problem, he couldn't see light through all that fog. And then he was confronted with the fact that God was using the Babylonians, an evil nation, to accomplish his purposes. And it just didn't make sense. And if he tried to sit on that throne, it would even make less sense to him. He would try to say that God wasn't being what he was supposed to be. And so he couldn't understand it. He couldn't reconcile all of that with the holiness of God. But he tried. He went to the right place to go get the answer. He took it to God, and then he took his place. He looked to God, and then he stopped worrying about his difficulty. He stopped looking at the difficulty. He made it God's and not his own. That's where the true basis of spirituality lies. And that's what Paul is talking about in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, when he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." So it doesn't matter what the problem is. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be burdened or worn out by all the problems that we have. All we have to do is get up in our watchpost and keep looking to God. And then we can do as Habakkuk did, as he expected an answer from God. Number two, that's what it is. We expect an answer from God. He says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me. And when Habakkuk said that he was going to stand at his watchpost, stationing himself there in the tower, looking out to see what God would say, there's no part of that that tells me that he was heading up there to take a nap or to avoid the problem or to hide from reality. None of that says that, does it? He was headed up there to get an answer. He wasn't headed up there to hide or to avoid what life is about. He wanted an answer. He very much wanted to deal with the reality that he lived in. He just knew that he couldn't do it on his own. And so he asked God to intervene, and then he expected that he was going to get an answer. He wasn't shrinking back from life. He was embracing it, and he was going to the place that promises life to the full. He wasn't abdicating intellectual thought on the matter. He was simply allowing God to be God so that his best interests were cared for. Sometimes we'd rather not deal with life, wouldn't we? You know, life gets tough, and we'd rather just go hide ourselves under the bedsheets for a while, and maybe it'll go away, right? Other times we give our troubles to God and we forget about it, and then the problem comes to the surface again, and we have to start all over. So we do well to follow Habakkuk's example here and wait with expectation. Wait with that we expect God to move. And God, of course, may answer us in a number of different ways. He might answer us how we ask him to answer us. He might answer us in a completely different and unexpected way, like Habakkuk was experiencing there. But he will answer us, and he will do the best thing. He can answer us through a number of sources, from the Bible, from trusted believers, as we talked about. He can answer us from day-to-day happenings in our life. But whatever we do, the point is we should expect an answer for our prayer for help. We need to be on the lookout, as Habakkuk was here. We need to be ready to recognize it when it comes. And then, like Habakkuk, when we tell God about our problems, we take our place, we expect that answer, and then number three, we persist. We persist. We persist in eager expectation for God to show us what he is doing. He says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Now, Habakkuk was pretty clear that he was going to hang out in that watchpost until he got an answer, right? He made no movements in any other direction, none whatsoever. And we can see how persistent he was, because he was ready not only to hear God's answer to him, but he was ready to act in response to what that answer would be. God promises, his promises never fail, and Habakkuk knew that. He knew that he's always true to his word. And so when we go back to worrying about our problems, we're dishonoring God. We're saying that he doesn't have authority over our problems. We're saying that he doesn't know what's best for us. And so when we give up on hearing an answer, we're dishonoring God. When we throw out a prayer kind of just like an SOS without really expecting an answer, we're dishonoring God. We don't give God the honor when we don't expect an answer and persist knowing that he will answer us. So instead, we need to take Habakkuk's lead and stick with it. Stick with it. If I believe God is my Father, and that the very hairs on all my head are numbered, and that God is so much more concerned about my welfare and my well-being than even I am myself, and if I believe that God is much more concerned about the honor of his own name than even I am myself, then I need to leave it with him. Surely I'm dishonoring God if I decide that I need to be the one to look after all that, right? It shows that my faith is fleeting and not solid when I do that. You know, I worry what's happening sometimes here, especially in our country, with all these ugly events in today's news. I worry that with each one of these ugly events that we see happening in our country, in our world, in our community, I worry that God's people see the hurt and the devastation and the pain that goes along with all that, and they pray, and they pray, they run, and they rush to prayer, but not all of them expect an answer. Not all of them expect an answer. And then as the days and weeks go on and things calm down a bit, when God doesn't seem to answer for them, then the next time maybe they don't go to prayer. And maybe a few less people expect an answer. And their faith gets chipped away, and fewer with each new event, fewer and fewer people are praying expectantly. And a huge witness, I think, is lost when we do that. We need to pray with expectation. Habakkuk stood watch, waiting expectantly and persistently for the answer that he knew God would bring. He may not have been able to understand the answers, but he was waiting, and he was doing that with expectation and persistence. Even when doubt crept in, he knew that those things were true about God. And when we do what Habakkuk did, all in this verse here, the outcome of that is so real. The outcome is this. This is the expectation, the result of all that expectation. We get a receiver reward, number four. Oh, that one didn't get changed. Receive the reward. That's number four. Write that in there. Receive the reward. Habakkuk believed that there's a reward for faith that stands trials and times of uncertainty. And he was right. He was right. After all this waiting, here's what Habakkuk said. He said, write the vision, make it plain on the tablets that whoever may run to it reads it. For the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. That was God speaking to Habakkuk. God always honors his promises. He is always true to his word. He's a good God who loves and cares for his children, wanting that not any one of us should fall, but that we should all be able to meet with him in heaven one day, that we all be cared for. He's got a plan that he's working out to bring his kingdom back, and all we have to do is decide whether or not we're going to be a part of that plan or not, whether we're going to participate in it or whether we're going to be angry at God. That's what we have to decide. Essentially, what God is telling Habakkuk here is this. Habakkuk, it's all right. I got this. I've heard your prayer. I understand your confusion. Here's my answer. The Babylonians are raising up to discipline Judah themselves. But they themselves will, in turn, be destroyed completely. They will be rotted. The greatness of the Babylonians was going to be short-lived. Your answer is coming soon. That's what he was telling them. God had simply raised up the Babylonians for a special purpose. And as is human nature, when things look like our might is what got us to where we are, the Babylonians took the glory for themselves, right? Their egos became inflated with their own sense of power. And then God struck and later raised up the Medes and the Persians, who destroyed the Babylonians. Just laid them out. Laid waste to them. God told the prophet to write the vision clearly so that anyone reading it could at once understand and run to obey and warn the others. And so what is that warning that he's saying to understand? I think it's this. Waiting on God is hard. It's not easy. It's hard work. But it is absolutely essential if we are to grow in our Christian lives. Habakkuk gives us a tremendous example of how to wait for God's answers to our problems. Now, I know that many of us are struggling today. The news seems scary. We wonder why the terrorist attacks are happening all over the world. We wonder why there's wars and unrest. We wonder what's going to happen from all this racial tensions and the tensions with authority. Some of us are wondering about problems even in our own lives. But remember this from Habakkuk today in all these things. Know that things are not always what they seem. What makes sense to us today, or what seems to make no sense to us today, will one day make sense. God is bringing an answer. His answer will not delay. Our perspectives will be changed when we see that, and we'll be able to see what God was doing, even if we can't see that now. Habakkuk reminds us that sometimes we just can't make sense out of our own circumstances, at least not now, but we can rest in a God who loves and cares for his people and is working to bring about his kingdom. If the wait's longer than you'd like, remember whose problem it really is. It's not our problem, is it? It's not our name that's being dishonored, and it's not even God. God is going to bring honor to his name. Time is in God's hands, and he promises never to delay his answer, not even a moment too long. And know, too, that waiting for God's answer, it strengthens our patience. It gives us the patience that we pray for, and it lengthens our perspective. The short view of life is usually a false view, isn't it, right? First impressions are often wrong impressions. So give God the position he deserves in your problems. Take your place at the watchpost and take heart to words, the words scratched into the basement wall of a house in Germany at the end of World War II. The anonymous person who wrote these words surely knew the truth that Habakkuk wanted to share with us this morning. It says, "I believe in the sun, even when it does not shine. I believe in love, even when it is not shown. I believe in God, even when he does not speak." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are a God who loves and cares for his children. Thank you, God, that you are in control of what is going on, that you have authority over all the ugliness and evil in the world, and that you are using that stuff to bring about glory to your name. Lord, that you can bring good out of those bad things that we choose. And we choose evil far too often, even in our own lives. And Lord, we need your forgiveness for that. Help us, Lord, to take our positions, to take our place at our watch posts, to be ready to receive your word and your direction, to put you in the right place as God and not us. Help us to wait, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.